Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, September the 9th, 1999. In the fireplace room this evening, the presentation is a forum. The title of the forum is Miracles. Let's listen in.
Community to have a conversation on a certain subject. I'm not presenting anything this evening. I am serving as a facilitator. And we'll begin the tape this session, so I have to let them know that to begin to roll the tape. You can begin rolling the tape now. Tonight we're going to look at miracles and do they exist? And do we have stories to share with one another as we question whether there are miracles or not? And so I invite any of you to share thoughts or stories or reflections in your own life that have made you believe or doubt that there are miracles in this world. And having said that, I would say one of the questions that maybe we want to start out with is we look at maybe miracles happening or occurring in the Bible, and we say that those don't happen in modern day times, that was something long ago. There was prophets or there were people who had great visions or experienced great things, and that can be a starting point.
I'll start it.
Okay.
I feel that it's been a miracle in my life. My grandson had a stroke when he was 12 years old at a little league baseball game. He was on first base and he just dropped. He was at a hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we wondered what the outcome would be. The doctors would not say anything. There was no way of knowing how he'd come out of this. And on a Sunday morning, when Mass was being said at a Catholic hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there were four doctors and a family that got him out of bed to see if he would walk. And he walked. And you see a lot of teary-eyed doctors in hospitals when there's a miracle in the recovery of a patient.
We see a lot of miracles around healing or around miraculous events that there's no understanding medically. Yes?
I believe in miracles. I believe one happened. I brought along a newspaper head and really see, but it says, it's a quote, "It was a miracle that they found me." That's me. I was lost for 6 days in the mountains of Alaska. And if you ever have been in a field of muskeg, you know what it is. It's the kind of grass that's wet and spongy and very difficult to walk on, and it clumps, and one looks like another. Well, if you're in a whole mountain of those and you're one little speck and you're one little person and you're found among that, well, that's a miracle. And there was help. There was help from a caribou when they landed the helicopter to pick me up. They said, "Did you see that caribou?" Well, yes, I saw a caribou three times today when I made noise, it went up the hill. Well, it's crouched behind the hill here, and when a caribou is threatened by a human, it crouches down in a different way. And they said it was crouched down, and that's how we knew where you were.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that was last summer.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'll read it. I am one because when I was born, but my doctor worked on me. When I was born, died, but my doctor worked on me, and about 3 years ago, I got really sick. For a week. I was in ICU for a week, and that is why I have my tracheotomy.
I am one because when I was born died, but my doctor worked on me in about 3 years, so I got really sick. I was in ICU for a week, that is why I have my tracheotomy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a work.
Thank you. Are we supposed to wait for miracles then? Is miracles part of praying? Where people mention, whether it be an animal or a person, there with them in that time. When the outcome isn't known, how do we live believing in miracles, but not.
I wonder sometimes how you can measure a miracle, mm-hmm. how you can determine what makes it special. I think sometimes perhaps we discount things, the ideas that enter our head, and which are. Where they come from is hard to know. Mm-hmm. But they can sometimes change our lives because of that. Mm-hmm. Is that a miracle? Is that something that is extraordinary? Mm-hmm. Extraordinary?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of miracles just pass us by because we don't have them.
Amen.
Yes, Evelyn.
Sometimes something like a miracle comes out in a different way. I had a very good friend who was suddenly stricken with locked-in syndrome. So there was absolutely nothing she could move. Her husband is a pastor. There were prayers that went out all over that there would be a miracle. Rose had been very, very active outside her congregation. She had done a lot of tutoring, for example, for Vietnamese, mm-hmm. Newly arrived people and things like that. Anyway, there were months and months where Rose was lingering. Finally, there was a little bit where she could use a machine like our friends Al and Sharon are using. To just communicate with that machine. She could not speak. Mm-hmm. But she did not live. But the miracle was that the Vietnamese, whom she had tutored, were so devoted that they really became Christians because of her. Mm-hmm.
In my own life, I've come to see that just at the right time, people come into my life, just when I need to learn a lesson or I have a place in my life where I need to grow. And so I've developed this pattern of just trusting that in the next phase of whatever I'm entering into, that there will always, if I open myself up to learning from others, to meeting people, that my life will always be blessed. I question, when I think about miracles, Ruth and I were trying to think of a forum topic for this week, and Ruth had mentioned miracles, and I thought that sounded like a good idea. But after working in an AIDS housing program for a year, I begin to question why I've seen miracles in my life and someone else hasn't, or is what I've experienced miracles? And when I see great suffering around me, and how is that something that can be open to all people, is a struggle for me to see miracles in certain circumstances, or something that we call a miracle. And I wonder if it can be shared. Like what you were saying about that miracles pass us by. I saw miracles in that AIDS housing program occur many, many times. People finding community where they had never, ever had family or love or support, and dying at peace because of that. And that's a miracle for me. But it didn't come across the board all the time.
Maybe some of you have read that my teaching career stopped after an accident. And now I'd like to have you tell me whether what happened had anything miraculous involved in it. I was bicycling to school. I did this about 4 days a week. It was 8 miles to school. I was teaching high school. This was in 82. And there was a bridge in Tacoma that has a 90-degree turn on. And just as I came to that bend, a truck was coming up and cut that corner and hit me head on. What that did is sent me sailing through the guardrail and flying through the air 35 feet. Now, what do you do when you're flying through the air for 35 feet? Your mind goes into fast motion, and a lot of things happen. Now, this is where I want to know whether there was a miracle. Obviously, I'm alive. At least I think I am, unless I'm dreaming and imagining all of you. But the very first thing that went through my mind was the Roadrunner cartoon with, what's the guy?
Wile
E. Coyote. And Wile E. Coyote goes off the cliff and grabs onto a little branch that sticks out. Yeah. That went through my mind. And I reached down, there was a wire. And that wire, when I hit it, all I did is hit it, but it was enough to flip me. So instead of going head first, which is the way I was going, I flipped. It was dark. I had no awareness where the ground was. The next thought was, well, now I'm going to get a chance to meet God. I did not expect to live. I just thought, I've had a good life. Now I'm going to get to know the answers. Now I'm going to know about it. Well, I still have to wait. But I'm alive. I landed on my feet and flopped back. I mean, I definitely was injured. But I carried, with my husband, I carried the Eucharist up to church the following Sunday. That was on Tuesday. Now, is that a miracle?
Yes.
I had a helmet on.
Yes, still. Yes.
And if there was a miracle, where was the miracle?
That you weren't killed.
Well, that was the conclusion. Anyway, that's...
Did you, at that time, any time during that incident, did you sense the presence of God?
No. I was just looking forward to that.
But who put that thought in your mind?
That's the question. How did those ideas enter my mind?
When you read about the early New Testament occurrences around Christ and the miracles, you often get a sense that people sensed the presence of God when Christ was around, when those miracles happened. And I wonder if it shouldn't be the same today. I'm not talking as an expert or anything, just from things that I've read, and I'm not an expert on miracles, but I sense that if a miracle is happening, we ought to be able to sense the presence of God somehow. That's only a suggestion on my part.
I was going to say,
keep that as a suggestion. The miracle happens to us and what we perceive. It may not be to anybody else.
Yeah.
But is that all that matters?
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
God is present always, whether we're aware of it or not, right?
Yes.
I don't know what a miracle is or isn't, but I would say that sometimes we think it's a miracle if it can't be explained. I would say whether it can be explained or not has nothing to do with it. And for one reason I say that is because as the centuries go by, one day we will be able to explain some of these things that today seem so terribly mysterious. So I would suggest we don't want to get hung up on this idea, well, it can't be explained, therefore it's a miracle.
Right.
If we do that, then in the year 2500 or something, we'll be able to explain so many more things. And if we do that, then we'll say, well, I guess there aren't any miracles because we can explain all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think explanation has anything to do with it.
It's a miracle every time someone
sometimes
sits in church.
Sometimes we watch it happen now, but it's God time.
What was that?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
We want it to happen, but it's God.
Sometimes we want it happen now, but it's God time.
It's not God's
time. It's not time. It's not God's time. Yep. Yep.
That's right. I think every time a pastor preaches a sermon and someone hears what God wants them to hear in that sermon, the person next to them might think it's a flat sermon, that it was very flowery, that it was not up to par. But another person has heard God's word for them, and that is a miracle. Every time, all the hundreds of times it happens, and we don't see it often.
That we may be part of miracles and we don't know that it's going on.
Yeah. Or we may be receiving that miracle.
Right.
And think, oh, that's a great pastor, you know, but it's God acting in the
right.
world. Or like you say, when people come into your lives
right.
at opportune times.
Right. When I talked about working in the AIDS community, I'm discerning whether I want to go to seminary at some point in my life, and went home to my home church, and I think maybe I've told some of you this story, but it was affirming to me, the story that I'm about to share, that we never know who we are affecting in our lives, and we have to live our lives in such a way knowing that we might influence someone for the better or the worse. And my home pastor asked me if I wanted to do a sermon the Sunday after Christmas, two years ago. And you know, that's the Sunday when everyone's families are home. And a big Scandinavian Lutheran church in a small town. And it was scary for me to go back. And he asked me to talk about what I was doing in this AIDS community in Seattle. And I asked him if anyone in our church was affected by AIDS. There's over 1,200 members in this small town church. And he said no. And I believed that that's what he knew. And I knew that he wasn't lying to me. But I knew that that was probably different. Or that there were people affected one way or another, whether it was a loved one or they themselves. And so I wrote my sermon expecting that someone was affected by AIDS. I hated to do that, but that's how I wrote it. And I talked about how I'd always been welcomed in that community, and never once did I walk through those doors and was never not welcomed or not embraced with love. And after I did that sermon three different times that weekend at three different services, and when I came the last service, a man came up to me and said, I'm the only one, and he walked off. I'd never seen him before, and he came back a little while later, and I was talking to some family friends that I hadn't seen in a long time, and he clearly kind of pushed them off and in with his mannerisms, and he wanted to talk to me, so I kind of stepped back, and he said, I'm the only one in Carleton County living with full-blown AIDS right now. AIDS had never been mentioned in our church up until that point. There had been no adult forums on it. There had been no discussion of whether it was a reconciled in Christ church, nothing where he could trust that that was a safe community. And when I went back to Seattle after Christmas, I received three letters from people in our church who had been affected by AIDS one way or another. And two of them hadn't even been at church that Sunday, but had just heard that I had mentioned the word AIDS. And so I guess I say that like what you're saying, is we don't know what can lead to a miracle or a sense of safety or a sense of security or healing in someone's life. Now, all of a sudden, this man who came up to me and said, I'm the only one, all of a sudden has community there where there had never been before. I didn't reveal that he had AIDS, but he all of a sudden, he trusted it because the word had been mentioned in that church, and now he could turn to the pastor or turn to someone. And I had no intention of knowing that anyone, or I had no expectation that I would find out that someone was living with AIDS after saying that from the pulpit. So do any of you live your life expecting that miracles are commonplace? For me, it's no surprise when I have a glorious experience because I just expect it. I don't want that to sound like a pompous thing, but it has happened enough in my life of good people or good situations out of my control that have been given me that I see a sign of grace. That if I trust that and open up.
Yes, Jim.
Once I, so many years ago anyway, I felt I needed a vacation without having any money. And my neighbor suggested, well, there's some wonderful hot springs up in Mount Hood, you know, go up there and enjoy them. I said, great. And so I hitchhiked. It was more possible at that time, but I did it. To there, and then took a bus to this little town, put out my thumb and a truck's, oh, and I brought a backpack and a can opener, and I never go around with a can opener, I don't eat canned foods, but anyway, a backpack and a can opener. And a truck stopped, a logging truck, took me up the mountain, said, this is it, there's a little sign pointing that way. Hiked in a half a mile, found these beautiful hot springs in carved out logs, inside a shed where a slate was missing so you could look at the foliage while you're, you know, in this wonderful, hot, steamy place. Did all that. I never did this before, so I thought, well, I tried to do this. And then went into a little stream, and then it was getting late, so it was time to go in. I had a very light, thin sleeping bag, put my head in there, didn't look out again until morning. But I was hungry. But I had this can opener, and there on a post was a can of beans. and it felt truly like a miracle, because I had my can opener. And then I went to bed, and then the next morning got up, did the ritual, walked out on the road, put out my thumb, a truck came immediately, picked me up. He said, hey, you're lucky. You could have been here 3 days. There aren't many trucks. And I came back home, and I told my sister about it. She could never find the place. But I always felt like it was a very special time.
Esther, yes.
These are the kinds of things that happen to me with some degree of regularity, and I think of them as miracles. About the middle of May, I decided to start making plans to come to Holden for a while, to quit my job, retire, and come away for a while. Well, the end of May, I stumbled, caught myself so I wouldn't fall, injured my shoulder. My son said, be tough, Mom. So for 2 months I was tough. Finally went to the doctor, and it was the full thickness tear of my rotator cuff, which meant I ended up putting off coming here for 3 weeks. But I had to see a surgeon. So I went to see the surgeon. I told him what my plans were for going away. Wasn't even the surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, that I had hoped to see. But I told him about my plans. I told him about Holden. He said, are you Christian? And I said, yes. He said, I am too. Next Monday, I went for my pre-op. And at the end of, you know, the little exam, he said, is it okay if we pray? I said, sure. So he and his nurse and I held hands, and he had a prayer, said a prayer. And then he said, and don't forget Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And my mouth sort of fell open, because from the very beginning of making the plans for this trip, that was the Bible verse that has been in my mind. And then it was again in chapel tonight that we learned to chant it. So he had no clue, you know, that that was my Bible verse. And I said, I'm really surprised you said that. And he said, well, that's an affirmation. Because I was wondering, with his shoulder, should I really be attempting to make this journey? And I decided that was an affirmative. It's not a big deal, but it's a really big deal.
Yes.
Can visions be considered miracles?
Oh, yes.
It sounds like you have a lot of response to that.
Can we hear what type of vision or what it?
Mine was it's pretty simple. My father passed away. My brother had committed suicide a while back, and then the last person I needed to bury was my mother, which left me basically an orphan. And at the funeral home, I went to pay last respects to my mother, and they did the best they could to, you know, make them look normal. And so I sat there, and after I had my my prayer with my mother and thank God for having, you know, supplied me with a wonderful family, I just kind of sat there very quietly. And off to my left, I had a full three or four color, three dimensional vision of my family. It would be circa, I would say, 1957, because that's the style of clothing that they were wearing, and everybody was healthy at that time. Standing in the field, very similar to the ones we have out here, very similar to the mountains right behind them, and all holding hands, mother, my brother in the middle, and father on the other side with his hat, holding his pipe, smiling and letting me know that everything is okay. Next day I had to participate in the service, and it was the most reassuring thing that I've ever had in my entire life, that I knew the family was okay. And there is God. There is God.
We are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses.
Mm-hmm. It can be wonderful to gather. Sometimes we don't share these stories or hear from others face to face of miracles. So to sit here, this is a gift to for us all.
To change the hearts of men and minds is a miracle. Mm-hmm. I am in Kairos, which is ministry of men in prison. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think I am privileged to see that every 6 months when we go there for a 4-day weekend. And to see those men change, not because of what I did,
right,
but the Holy Spirit. That's what we pray about, you know. And how that works in 4 days, or it can happen quicker than that, you see. Mm-hmm. But over that period of time, that most of those men can mend accept the fact that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. They've never probably even thought about him before.
I think sometimes we see the miracles long after they've happened.
Mm-hmm. And Monday morning quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk about, if I may share, I'm also a pastor. And two nights in a row I had the boys come to me and say three words. Tell Ruth, beware. It was in the middle of the night, and I jumped right out of my bed, and I was afraid that someone was right next to me. No one was there. So I just laid back down again and went to sleep. The next night, the same thing. Tell Ruth, beware. It was just like someone was standing right there. Who is this? Who is Ruth? It happened that I was in the summer, it was the summertime, and I was also doing hospital calls for the neighboring pastor who was on vacation. And his secretary was in the hospital. And her name was Ruth. So I went to talk to her, and I asked her if she believed in miracles and in visions. She said, oh yes, I do. And I said, well, the last two nights, I had this voice tell me, tell Ruth, beware. Does that make any sense to you? And she says, oh yes, it does. She didn't tell me why. But she died within 2 weeks. The pastor didn't believe in miracles. He didn't believe that I really had that or what had happened. So that was, in a sense, I felt I was used to do that. So we are miracles ourselves, and we are used by God in various senses. There's the healing ministry you yes. mentioned, you see.
Yeah.
We don't pray enough for those doctors, because
right.
they're the hand of the Lord.
What you're saying reminds me of, I don't know if any of you have read the book, I'm assuming maybe that you have, A Dead Man Walking by Sister Helen Machine. But in the introduction to the book, she goes through and talks about how she never would have imagined herself working with death row inmates. And she questioned whether she was an ordinary person experiencing extraordinary events or an extraordinary person needing to experience ordinary events. And that was the question that went through her mind. And she was opening herself up to miracles of learning that were hard, but at the same time, she was a miracle to some of these people.
Yeah, because I'm always asked, why do you want to go to prison? They're getting what they deserve. But by the grace of God, like the chaplain told the whole group on our closing service, he said, well, folks, he said, do you want to come and do this for these men, or do you want to wait until they come into your home again?
I took years ago, and I was unemployed, and I resisted taking this job to work at Bethlehem Steel because I knew the unemployment woman, and she said her sister wanted the job, but she said, no, you'd have the job. Anyway, so I ended up with this job. But the night before, I dreamt about this Afro-American woman of great composure, and that she had a heart problem. And and I got the job, and it turned out that I'm supposed to replace this woman who's African-American who had a discrimination case against the firm for people discriminating against her. And then this commission came to interview people to see what the facts were. Nobody would come forward, but I went forward and I said, hey, I dreamt that. She was just the way I dreamt. She was very composed. So I don't think I was too helpful. You know, I didn't think ahead of time that they might not accept that as evidence. But she was, in fact, the way I had dreamt about her, and also she had a heart condition. But, anyway, everybody else was, many people were afraid to come forward.
So if miracles pass us by, maybe more often than we realize, how do we open our eyes to it? And is it beneficial to open our eyes? Will we live fuller lives by trying to be open to miracles?
How do you recognize them?
I think you just look for them and you can see them. I think you just look for them harder and you can see them.
It's like seeing your best friend every day and you don't notice his or her beauty right away because you're used to seeing that face. But if you really look at them and try to see them for the first time again, you realize how beautiful they are. Same thing.
Yeah, that's good.
There have been many, many things that have happened in my personal life that I guess maybe if you want to call them miracles, but I have never considered them miracles. Mm-hmm. I've considered them part of my calling. Mm-hmm. And I go from one thing to the next. It's just part of my whole life. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't go around looking for highs or a star shooting out of the sky giving me a message, or here's this miracle, da-da. I know that this isn't what the discussion was about, but this is the way that I perceive my own personal life. And if I keep striving, I don't know, it seems to me like if we say, okay, here, this is a miracle, and then, you know, you define a miracle in some hazy way, and you're going through life, and you're not seeing anything that's a miracle, then all of a sudden you begin to feel like, hey, what's wrong with me? God doesn't love me, or I don't have enough faith. I don't go the negative route. I just go. And all, I mean, there have been things that have just, I mean, if you wanted a book of miracles, I could write you a book of miracles with things that have happened in my experience in life, if we want to define it. But I don't define it that way. This is just me. It's me working with the Holy Spirit, and it's all these things that go on, that, and they go on, and after I leave it, the ripples keep going. A miracle just isn't a thing, and then it ends. It continues on. Because none of us are isolated from the world, you know, and what we do, there's always ripple effects, and other people carry that on, and I can't, you know, I don't own a miracle, and I don't even attempt to define it.
I tend to agree with you. Raise your hands if you've seen a child born, whether it be your own or someone else's. And I'm sure that most of you have seen that first breath that baby has taken. If we add how many, I agree with Marion that is it a miracle or is it not? And to see the common occurrence of that first breath of that baby happening every minute in this world is amazing. Yet it's one of the most common places, or we all got here the same way. And that is a miracle, or is it not?
As a term miracle, people, you might get an aversion against that word, so then you look for terms for the same happenings.
It sounds a bit Hollywood to me.
To me, life is a miracle, so
yes.
anything is a miracle. Even when we have explanation, so-called explanation, it's still, you can't explain it.
Yes, I have two things. I'm a gardener, and to me, a miracle is when you put seed in the ground. It's good. It's between you and God, and you put the seed in, you fertilize, you water, and then you ask God to do his thing, and he always does. The other thing that happened to me, I was registering for school in the evening, and in the meantime it started to snow. I don't drive in the snow. I'm a big coward. So I got outside and it was like a whiteout. I couldn't find the freeway hardly. And I prayed, God, please help me get home. God, please help me get home. I just kept repeating that. And out of nowhere, there weren't even any tracks. I couldn't tell up from down. And right in front of me was a snowplow. And so I got right behind him and kept on praying. And I had to get off the freeway and go on Highway 3. He got off the freeway right in front of me. And it's just like God sent that man in the snowplow to get me home. So when I got in the house, I said to my husband, was I ever lucky? I got right behind the snowplow and I made it home, and then I thought, gee, you dummy, say thank you, God. There wasn't another car anywhere.
I have to tell you an incident that happened several years ago. My husband was a Methodist pastor, and he took some seniors to a retreat. And on the way home, they were crossing the Columbia River on a ferry. This was down toward Grandview. And as he went onto the ferry, it hit the gas tank and made a hole in the gas tank. Mm-hmm. And the gasoline started leaking out of his car. And so he opened the trunk of his car. He had a bag of potatoes in there. He took out a potato and stuffed it in the hole, and he didn't lose his gasoline, and he got home all right.
He's not finished yet.
Sometimes we are so busy, can't see them.
Or sometimes we're afraid to share them because we are afraid to sound like something special, you know, and we are just every ordinary people. And I wonder if we sometimes neglect sharing God's acts in this world because of our own feelings of pride or feelings of fear of what people will say. It's been kind of helpful to me to read the accounts in the Guidepost magazine. So many of those are people that have experienced this kind of miraculous things happening in their lives, or God works in mysterious ways, you know, is one one column. And, but it's over and over and over again. For how many years has this been going on? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an affirmation that God is acting in our society. Mm-hmm. The question that comes up for me is, and I can see him acting in my way, in my life, and on our family, and I can see direct revelation almost, you know, for our lives in many times. But my question is, why isn't he answering other prayers? And why isn't he, why does someone else live and have a healing and another person not? And is it right for us to question God? And is it right for us to...
Why not?
Yeah. Where do we go with that in counseling someone else? Well, you had healing. Why didn't my husband live? And what do you say?
I think what you say is that the divine, you know, workings of God is just beyond our thing. And that's why I don't like, I mean, I've had miracles happen, but I keep them very close to my heart because they're part of me and they're part of nobody else unless I were very close to them to tell them. And in fact, one time when I did, I kind of got this, I just think they're very close to a person. And I think that the thing is that, you know, whatever the universe is, or the higher power, or the God that's in our universe, and I think we're part of God, even. And I think that it's too grand a thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more, to me, more astonishing than... like when I read Kierkegaard and found out more about the presence of him within everything, and scientists agreeing that we're all made up of DNA, everything in this room is made up of the same thing that we're made up of, that is the most awesome thing that you could ever imagine. And like, it just sends chills through me. So how are we to say when someone dies that there isn't some like much grander plan than we could ever put, that we just can't even fathom it. And when he says in the Bible, you can talk about trying to figure me out or creation out, and you're going to just go insane because every new galaxy they find, I mean, it's just almost shocks you, blows you off your feet. Because you just can't believe that it's that grand a thing. So I guess I just feel like, I sort of feel like Miriam does too, because I think that, I don't know, it's like somebody that we knew once was going to have a simple Christmas. And it would have been fine to have a simple Christmas, but they told everybody that they were having a simple Christmas. And it wasn't. And my mother said, you know, my mother made a comment, comment to that effect to us, you know, but it wasn't a simple Christmas, it was something other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it isn't, I'm not saying don't share your experiences, but I think when you do share them, they come out at a time that's right for you, and you feel comfortable doing it.
I saw a movie many years ago, Man Facing the Southeast. Has anyone ever heard of it? I think it was made in Argentina, but I can relate to it somehow, maybe working in sort of poverty agencies or something. In essence, it's about this, I think it was a doctor, a musician, who was at a psychiatric clinic, hired, and he had an ability to tap into the energy from the sun, and he would sort of like a solar panel stand outside and absorb the sun, and then work with people, and brought out all this joy in this psychiatric clinic, which. And he brought him to a classical concert outside, and with his inspiration, they all started dancing, and they couldn't handle it. The community, the doctors, the clinic slowly shut down on this all this energy this man was helping bring out of these patients. And I've sort of seen, maybe I'm a problem too, but I've seen that more the problem than the miracles, you know, about our kind of accepting or allowing this joy, whatever it is, to come out, not be scared by it. I've seen more fear from its release than the problem about miracles itself.
That is a good point.
And it's like if nobody told us about those other galaxies, we wouldn't know that they were there to give us chills. You know, or,
yeah, that's true.
I think our sharing, we're so, we use the excuse that this is for us to learn from. And we're afraid to share it with other people because we're afraid we'll sound pompous or like we think we're really something. And I think we just pray that God will use what happened to glorify his name and then share all these unexplained coincidences, if you want to call them, that happened, and say, I believe God used this to direct me here or there or to say what I did. And then God forgive me if it was wrong. You know.
You had a comment in the back corner?
Well, yeah, I would imagine that most people here believe in the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And I do very much so, and I know that at various times in my life, often I get guidance in that way as to what to do and when to do it and what to say and how to guide people in certain situations. And sometimes those things are big and sometimes they're kind of small. And I never really regard them as miracles, although I suppose some would. It might make you think that what is the definition of a miracle? Is it something big or is it something small or something in between? Can you classify it by size or magnitude or whatever? But I just always look at those things as guidance of the Holy Spirit. I just look at those things as living with God in my life. And I don't really ever think of them as being miracles. It's just the way it ought to be. It's just if you're living your life with God as part of it, those things should happen, you should expect it. Yeah. And it's just the way it is. It's just the way a Christian lives.
And when you think of it, that itself is a miracle, that faith. When you look at the Christian faith, it's absolutely illogical. When you think we can't see that Holy Spirit, we can't prove that that a man has risen from the dead, and that that should have any effect on our salvation, they're not logical, rational things, but the fact that we believe it and know it and get strength from it, and that he uses us to communicate, that's the miracle.
We're getting to the end of our time. It seems like we could continue talking about this for a while. I hope that you each, if anyone has any closing comments that they'd like to add, please feel free. But I also hope that at coffee break tomorrow or at a meal, maybe you will find yourself sitting at a table with one another, but that maybe these conversations will continue outside of this room.
Okay.
Does anyone have any last thoughts?
Yes, just as he was talking, I thought of a quote that I can't remember who said it, and it was Albert Einstein. It's a quote that my dad uses a lot. And you can look at life as though nothing were a miracle or as though everything were a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to ask for a sense of wonder.
Yeah.
Probably that's more important than having a theoretical kind of a some kind of a grasp of a theoretical concept of whether or not miracles exist.
I think that's a good quote to end on.
So we can agree on that.
Thank you.